Hey guys, this is John.
And Austin.
And this is another episode of the Meatgistics podcast presented by Waltons. Find all of your meat processing needs at waltons.com. I don't know. Trying something different. See if that worked. How much does Waltons pay us to do these ad reads for them?
Wait, we get paid?
You're getting paid for this?
I was talking to HR the other day, and I was like, why haven't I seen a paycheck in like 3 months? And they just told me, oh, it's coming.
Yeah.
I trust them.
I'm sure it is.
No disrespect, but when you say HR, you mean your aunt, Stephanie.
This is true. Yes. I'm trying to make it sound official.
That's a great comment. I just love how the family aspect of this company. It's just like,
listen, to be clear,
on a first name basis, it's great.
I've brought it up many times that when Stephanie retires, I will take a pay cut to be able to have input on who the next HR person is. Cause I love Stephanie because HR is how a lot of weird stuff get into companies. And she is like a stone wall against that.
Yeah.
That's also you all like, even if she was to say like, hey, we need to do this and it's something weird and outlandish, she also has to get that through me and Brett and Dylan.
Sure. Sure.
Like, so you put, I don't know.
But
you get something stupid and crazy, and one of the four of us are going to shut it down.
Okay. Wait, I'm one of the four now?
No, you're going to probably help shut down the stupid and crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. You said one of the four of us.
Oh.
So that'd be you, Brett, Dylan, and myself.
Steph.
I knew what that was. I was just trying to see if I could get something past there.
This podcast is awesome so far.
Speaking of the four, there will soon be four Waltons working at Waltons.
Technically five, six. I mean, seven, eight. How are you going to look at it? My mom is still
people with last name Walton.
With last name
Walton. So then it's five then.
Yeah, you can
Steph
say,
is obviously
my aunt Steph is, yep. She's still a Walton. Then you got Brett. You
but
got
it's not her actual last name anymore.
True.
Right.
But she was
like
born
my sister is no longer a Trembley because she got married and took her husband's last name. I don't count her as a Trembley
oh,
anymore.
Oh, come on.
No. Good That's... Lord, no. She's my sister, so she's Trembley adjacent, but it's no longer her last
in
name.
In the history books, she won't be a Trembley.
So. Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. But, well, no, it's going to be in parentheses, like at the end. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
If you're looking at like an ancestry tree, like they're going to show both names in there.
Yeah. The non.
No, Steph, you obviously count 100% as a Walton.
I want it to be clear if she listens to this that I was on her side.
The whole time. He was. He was winking at me with that other eye, though, Steph. I don't know.
So, Steph, if you want to count her or not, you got Brett, you got Sandy. Yep. Sandy still works here. She works part time. Dylan, me. That's five. And then former employee, Allie, will no longer be a former employee. So she is coming back in a month and a half.
Something
we'll
like
see.
That.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. We're still to be negotiated and determined.
So for those of you who've been with us for a long time, Allie and I used to work very closely, like next door. And every time I've seen her, I have tried to convince her to come back to Waltons. She'll be an awesome asset for us. She's very good at the social media stuff, all this stuff. Probably all the stuff that I'm not great at, she is very good at.
I was talking to my wife about it the other day, and I was like, Allie is good with more of the things that John and I are not good at. Like,
right.
I'm good at the logistical stuff. You're good at putting stuff, like the I don't even want to.
Why? No, I'm just interested in what I'm good at.
The content, please. Talking to people, like, what we're doing here.
Right.
But then there's other things that Allie's good at that I think it's going to fit in nice. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I think you were joking about it with her that she's going to do things that you don't want to do.
Right.
She's going to do things I don't want to do.
Yeah.
But it's going to work out well. And we've had her here before. I've enjoyed working with her. So I think it's going to be fun. And we're also going to have another body, so we're going to be able to do more things.
Yep.
I don't know what those more things are going to be yet.
But there's something.
But yeah.
She'll be very good, I think, at least. Where we haven't – one of the things we haven't done very well is, like, go out and find other opportunities to advertise. And she, I think, will be very good at that. So
– partially from the aspect she's been a marketing manager in a different field.
Right.
For I don't know how many years now, she's definitely going to have a different perspective on some stuff than we do and has done things outside of our area too.
Plus, I'm just excited to have her back because she's a good person. Like, she genuinely is nice to be around. Not that you're not, but she's nicer to be around.
So that's okay. The first thing I'm interested, she's already has things on her mind. She sent me a text the other day and she's like, do you have any videos out there with the old jingle? And I'm like, no.
We found the old jingle the other day.
I still have it.
Oh, okay.
I keep all kinds of stuff like that locked away because I'm like, someday someone's going to appreciate the ability to make fun of us for the jingle we had. I sent it to Allie and she had a good time with that. And then she was talking with, I don't know, somebody she works with about that stuff. So we'll see if anything comes of that because she works in the music business right now.
Sure.
So that would be one area that, I don't know, would be kind of cool if, she all of a sudden has something. But if she doesn't, I'm not going to be disappointed. Yeah. But we'll see.
But anyways, it'll be awesome. That will free up. Patrick and I were talking just before the podcast about what videos, like what actual in-depth videos we want to make again. Like I get a bunch of comments on the like 12-minute snack stick video we did that all of them are like best video you guys have ever done. Not all. A bunch of them are like best video you guys have ever done, blah, 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 blah. So I think people want more of that like longer form, like deeper dive content. So we'll give us the opportunity to do that.
I've started watching more YouTube videos like that, and it I will get like invested into it if it has like the chapter breakdown.
Yeah,
that
is it automatically doing that now, Patrick?
It did for a little while. I think it depends on
the length,
your type of video, the length, and if it can easily identify those spots for you. But as far as what it names it and stuff like that, it's a blessing and a curse. But
if
chapters for sure, people really only dig on.
And if it doesn't, we can actually go in and create those.
Yep, you just do the little semicolon. Yeah,
that's easy.
Because you get 30 videos out of one 30-minute long video.
Right.
You literally kill 30 birds with one stone. I'm excited to do you and I before I even
are those meadow larks or are they quails?
Nice. Ooh, it's probably a mixture of both.
It's so probably
only pick up the ones that are legal.
That's right.
Before we knew Allie was coming back. This is it's a new deal. We've joked about it for a while, but like actually, her being serious and going, you know, actually I would, at the beginning of the year, one of the things I talked to you about, like was us doing like more of doing the stuff we used to do more.
Right.
That's what I'm most excited for. I have to still dump some other things off my plate to get there, but, I want to do more of the old Meat Justix videos.
Well, like, we need. To do that, it'd have to be more like it used to be where, like, there became a time where we basically kicked you out of the room after and, like, had everything ready for you when you came in. Like, you used to help clean up and do all that stuff. And finally, we're like, we'll take care of this. You just come in, you know, be ready. So it'd have to be back to that because you're never going to get rid of all those things. Like, the mistake we made yesterday, nope. The error that Sage caused yesterday, because we didn't make a mistake. I will hold that. But anyways, the issue that we caused.
It was you caused it, but it wasn't your fault.
Right.
Yeah.
But
I will agree with that.
We never would have been able to fix that. Like, you're the only one who could have fixed that. Well, maybe one of the devs could have, but.
You guys could have,
nope.
You could have ultimately just nuked the product.
That's what we would have ended up doing.
But yeah. But yeah, we're going to get away from that. Like. We're not going to have that issue anymore because of what we're changing.
Right.
I think is the grass greener on the other side? I don't know. You think it is at times until you get there. You don't know if you're looking at a picture or if you're looking at the real thing.
All right. Well, we'll find out. So here is some jerky that I've been making for the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers event that we're going to up in Minnesota. This, instead of going through our slicer, went through our marinator. Or tenderizer, and I put the jerky blades in. I like it better like this. Here's the problem. I'm about to go insane from laying these out on jerky racks. That piece is okay because see how thick it is? But most of them come out like this, and trying to lay that out takes forever.
Why don't you cut it after you cook it?
It doesn't look right. It doesn't have the same texture. It doesn't have all of that. So what I think I'm going to do on this next batch, because I have another, 80 pounds I got to do. I'm going to run it through the slicer first and then use like just a regular knife to cut it into thicker strips than this. So like twice as thick as this or so, maybe a little bit more than that.
Could you, it's probably too late for it, but
because you end up with all kinds of different stuff. But you do it in a format that was going to be like the same length and width. So they're all just like basically little bite-sized nuggets. Or that's just too small. Because then you don't even have to really lay them out. You just kind of
roll them.
It wouldn't even
fall through the
netting. Yeah.
So no. But that's a good thought. All right. Then we've also got some of this old pepperoni that we made. And you made a comment that it's very oily. Well, hold on. Wait until you try this stuff. This.
Same pepperoni, different batches?
Different batches. Cut that up. What were you looking at the ends for?
I think it's just from the drying. They're just a little discolored.
Yeah.
But that's soft. Not near as hard as this. Not that it's bad, but I was expecting firmer.
So that's fair. This batch lost, was down to like 35%, and this one was in the mid 40s. But what I think happened with this, why it's oily, is because we cut it, sliced it up, let it sit out for a couple hours, then we put it back in a vacuum bag.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what it did. Uh-huh. Leo, he just wiped his greasy hands on his pants.
I do that all the time. Yeah. And Leo has such a problem with it. He wipes on his shirt, on his pants, and I tell him not to, and then I go do it.
Yeah. I was rewatching one of our live streams looking for some information on it, and I hit on that point like a week ago, and it just made me think of it.
Both those are good, though. I don't know. I had an expectation that it'd be different, but neither, I would say. It's just like, oh, I absolutely prefer this one over that.
That batch is better. The first batch is better. This is the batch that we started to get a little bit nervous, had mold growing on it.
Yeah.
But it just turned out to be salt. So, I don't know.
Interesting.
The batch I have in there right now is salami with a bunch of ground pepper, and we're using these new casings. I'm going to grab them.
Are they in stock casings, or are they like stock casings? Oh, you can throw them. I don't care. This is a prototype test.
Yes, this is a test. Okay. So these are natural casings of porcine dehydrated. So this is a dehydrated natural casing. The awesome thing about this is they rehydrate in 3 minutes. So you put this in hot water for 3 minutes and they're perfectly rehydrated. They are nice and big, wide around, and super strong. We were not trying to break them, but we were trying to like stress test them, and they worked absolutely great. So this is something we're looking at bringing in. Not 100% sure if we will or not yet. I imagine that like this size is going to be almost exclusively commercial. But they do have some smaller sizes that I'm going to try.
I mean, that is natural casing, though.
Mm-hmm. So 100% natural. It's just dehydrated instead of salted.
That's so weird.
Right? But it works great.
To be honest, I would love it from a shipping aspect.
So much better.
You know how many times we get like a tiny poke in a bag of natural casings and it leaks, and then that causes issues with the carriers, and people also question, like, it's technically fine, but it smells horrible. Sure. You get salt everywhere.
These don't smell at all.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
The biggest question will be, can they put them on, can you do like smaller?
You can do smaller diameters. I have them.
Well, like a smaller length. A home guy can't really utilize that.
No, but they can cut it off and just rehydrate what they're going to need.
Did you have to, was that what you were talking about the other day of like 20 minutes to rehydrate?
No, 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Oh, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's not bad.
No, it did awesome. Worked great. So that's a really cool new product. We're looking at bringing it in. We've got some more testing to do, but when it comes in, 100%, we'll let everybody know. This is releasing on Friday. Monday is the live stream. So
April 1st, not an April Fool's Day.
Not an April Fool's Day. Last month we introduced the multiplier with the darts game. So we started with, you had $5, and then we threw a dart and we multiplied it by whatever we hit. We wanted to make some changes kind of there. Like, what could we do to make it a little bit more interesting as to what the starting amount was? So before the podcast, we agreed that it would be the number of new Meatgistics users in the last 5 hours. Now, that can sometimes be a lot, and sometimes it can be not many, depending on when you choose. So what do you got?
Eight.
Eight. So we have eight users. Okay. So that means eight is the number for everything.
So last time we did five times whatever our score was. Right. This time it's eight times whatever our score was.
Going to make math a little bit harder, but.
Oh, yeah. We'll just set out a calculator.
We can figure it out. Yeah. We'll figure it out somehow.
Can we get like a big button calculator, like a old school, like jitterbug phones? Big calculator sitting here so we can just.
That's not bad. Maybe even an accountant's calculator.
Yeah, for sure.
With the little printy spool on it. Oh, yeah. I bet somebody still has one of those floating around the building here.
I would bet.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I'd bet a bunch of people do. All right. So there's that. I told somebody this today and they said, you realize that's like the ninth time you've said this. I think I found the house I'm going to buy.
Nah.
I really do.
It'll sell.
No. Shut up, Patrick. That was very mean. I want you to take that back right now.
Someone's going to buy it.
And he's laughing about it too. Take a note for
What about this new stranger's property? Do you like?
It has 9 acres. It is down by that other house I really liked that sold. I'm looking for it right now. And it's in between Augusta and what is that? Douglas, that's south of Augusta. So I'm in between townships.
Let's put the address in the comments.
So all sorts of shooting becomes.
Oh.
Yes. Very excited about that.
Wait, no, this is the one you sent me before.
No. This isn't that one. The one you just saw. This isn't that. Yeah, I knew I wasn't going to be able to find it that easily.
Oh, well.
It hasn't sold. But anyways, I'll show it to you at some point.
Okay.
It is pretty awesome. All right, moving on.
How long of a drive?
It'd be 30 minutes.
30 minutes. Yeah, okay.
So not too bad. Moving on to meat matters. U.S. agriculture industry gears up for futuristic aerial drone swarm farming after FAA decision. A new exemption for drone piloting from the FAA has cleared the airways for drone swarm agriculture, a method of seeding and spraying crops at a fraction of traditional cost. Hylio, H-Y-L-I-O, a Texas-based drone manufacturer, successfully applied for an exemption from the FAA to allow fleets of drones weighing 55 pounds or more to fly together. It's the first exception of its kind for machines that carry what companies call a meaningful payload and makes the process competitive with traditional tractors and seeding rigs. So I think that's pretty awesome, to be honest.
On one hand, I'm like, there's no way. But on the other hand, tractors cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting. I want to be more of a farmer now. On one hand, tractor's pretty cool. That with the tech they have in some of them is insane these days. But if you don't, you still sometimes have to go out. You're working in the field. It's 110 degrees. There's dust everywhere.
Right.
It's miserable conditions. Now you get to sit in your air-conditioned house and just run drones around. I'm in. This sounds great.
You still have to go out there to harvest it. This would just some seeds, probably not, definitely not all seeds, and spraying the crops.
For now. Remember,
that's fair.
Interstellar, they had their drones and they were running all the equipment for farming. So.
That's fair.
But, you know, I use movies for real life. So just give it some
that's
time.
That's how you
like
relate to things.
Of course. Yeah, I don't know. Things they done their homework. It's a training manual for life.
What all right, so we don't have this one as a list in OneNote, but bird flu discovered in U.S. dairy cows is disturbing.
Oh, and
disturbing is in quotation marks.
I don't know. Oh, like it's not real.
Yeah,
disturbing.
It's not really disturbing. Scientists who track infections on cattle farms discusses implications.
Yeah.
Of recently announced virus detections. The bird flu virus that has wreaked havoc around the world appears to have surfaced in the U.S. dairy cows for the first time. This viral subtype has been documented in any cattle. Three U.S. states, Texas, Kansas, and New Mexico, on 25 March, I hate how they do that. So on March 25th, reported cows sickened with what scientists are presuming is the same H5N1 strain of influenza that has killed hundreds of millions of poultry and wild birds. So they're presuming at this point, right? The cattle infections are spoiling milk and causing limited disease in mostly older animals. Dead birds have also been found on some of the farms, which may explain the source of the virus. Public health officials have stressed that the risk to humans from the virus remains low. Yeah, if it's jumped one species, there's no reason to assume it is not, this isn't capable of doing it again.
Yeah, doesn't sound good.
And bird flu is a bad one. Mm-hmm. A very, very bad one. So.
I first remember hearing about like bird flu stuff. I don't know if it's the same one or not, but I don't know if it's changed over time. But maybe. Wait, what year is it? 2024? Oh, like 18 years ago? It would have been like 2006? Maybe there was a
for the first. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Is it the same bird flu that's been going the whole time? I have no idea.
No, that was H1N1, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, H1N1 was the initial. Was there a pig flu?
Yeah, swine
flu. Swine flu, thank you. Maybe that's what H1N1 is.
Yeah, it is.
It is?
I think
Look at Patrick.
That's what I remember.
H1N1, swine flu.
Yeah.
Is there a pig flu? This is like the time when I first started working here and I was talking to a customer and he's like, do you have any hog or pig casings? I was like, no, we have hog casings. Huh. And then both he and I were silent for 3 or 4 seconds. I go, yeah, I'm an idiot. And he's like, I didn't want to say anything. I was like, yeah, that's stupid.
I would have hung up on that guy. No, you got the wrong numbers.
This is in Walton's.
Excuse me. You're breaking up. I'm going in a tunnel. Damn, wait, damn it.
Your article said H5N1.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's is a strain of H5N1 from 2006. Fast mutating, highly pathogenic avian influenza virus. If it's on one hand, I'd say I would be nervous about if it's moved from birds to cows. But if it was fast mutating in 2006 and this is where we are now, maybe it's not that bad. But okay, 14 years, 18 years from now, a distance. What if it does make the transition?
I mean,
either way, it could still devastate the cow population.
There have been examples of humans getting this from birds, from like direct contact, but it's very, it's kind of difficult for them to get.
It's not airborne.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But listen to this. The USDA is not requiring farmers to cull affected herds as it does when the virus attacks poultry farms. The USDA officials stress that pasteurization kills the virus in any milk produced by an infected cow. So not only are they not making them cull them, but they're still going to let them sell that milk to the public. I think I will be continuing not to drink any milk.
I've been mixed lately on drinking like regular store-bought milk and then drinking like raw, 100% raw milk from
pet food.
No.
Like, yes.
It's not pet food. What do you mean? Where are you going?
You're not legally allowed to purchase raw milk. So you buy it for your pet.
No, you can.
Somewhere on that bottle, it will say pet food or something. No.
You can't buy it in a store. You can't buy it. You have to buy it from the dairy farm.
This is what's going on in Pennsylvania with the Amish farmer who the government is just raking over the coals. He wasn't selling in stores. People were coming to him and buying it.
I'm going to go to my wife and see what she's see what she's feeding me. But I don't know.
Yeah, people sell it as pet food. Like this is milk you can give to your pet. And then they do whatever they want with it, as they should.
I don't think that's the case. Maybe this is a place I'm buying from. Fresh raw milk and cheese sold at our on-farm store. So raw dairy.
For pets.
It doesn't say for pets.
So this is,
don't say the name of it.
Why not?
Unless you,
am I going to hurt anything?
I don't know.
I don't think so. They surely have to be doing things on the uppity up.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
I would think. But Borntraeger Dairy.
It's too late. Sorry, guys. I tried to protect you.
There's nothing. They have a publicly available website. Mm-hmm. There's so. But you have. We had to go. You have to like go. You can't buy it anywhere else. You have to go there.
Yeah.
But then you once you go there and you pay for it, then you can get delivery for free. So we don't have to go there. But you have to go there and pay for it. So you pay for it like all up front.
All right. So it says grass-fed raw dairy.
Milk. Nowhere so far have I seen anything about it's for pets. It's for human consumption.
Then why are they going after that guy in?
I don't know. I know there
is there a difference between raw and unpasteurized?
Dude.
Not to interrupt.
Yeah.
You remember that?
But here I come.
Here we come. The look on his face. I could laugh for 10 minutes. Just keep it going. I asked you to look at a milk about a month ago, right? I said, hey, check this out. How much you think this cost?
Right.
When I got my smoothies, right?
Mm-hmm. Or
whatever.
Yep.
If you were to open the fridge right now, would you be surprised that milk was still in there?
No, not at all.
Would you be surprised that it's still edible and I had some today?
Is it edible or is it still good?
It's both. It's okay. Within its date.
It's still within its date.
It doesn't expire until like June. And I was like, what is happening?
Whoa. No.
So cracker open.
That's a long time. This has like
active cultures and stuff. So I was very.
Kefir.
Yeah.
Is that, kefir.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
What is it?
Kefir?
Exactly?
Kefir, whatever.
Kefir.
Kefir Sullivan. Yeah, but this is like specifically.
I'm buying anything dairy,
fermented
dairy related.
What's the right word?
I'm thinking it's a week old, right?
I mean, there's live and active probiotics. Yeah,
this is a different thing. I thought you meant just like regular milk.
No, dude.
Okay.
But beyond that, we looked at some bread too. I'm glad this is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Where is the bread?
I didn't bring it in.
Hmm. Well, it's like this. Just imagine a loaf of bread.
Delicious.
Unmessed with, but I bought it about when I got that milk. And the bread is a month past its sell by day. There's no mold on it at all.
And it's that like all organic bread.
That Dave's whatever.
So it's not like a bunch of preservatives.
Yeah.
Patrick thinks he's found a portal in his bottom drawer where he can put things and it like goes outside of time.
Yeah, exactly. Because what else makes sense?
If it
cool,
I mean
cool,
bread
dark place, right?
Yeah. If bread it didn't have any contamination on it inside the package. It should last for a while. Mold is just, it can grow on it. As soon as you open it up and there's something that gets on it, mold's going to then, it's going to come about. But if you can keep that away, so just, I don't know, your environment maybe doesn't have a lot of mold. There's mold in theory everywhere. But
we need to open that and leave it somewhere for like a day or two and check on it. Okay.
It's over.
It says pet food right there.
No, it does not. I am talking to my wife when I get home to make sure that... I'm not out of my mind.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. All right. What are seed oils? Healthiest oil option explained from USA Today. Seed oils include canola, corn, cottonseed, grapeseed, soybean, sunflower, rice bran, which I've never heard of, and peanut oils. The group is sometimes referred to as the Hateful Eight and blamed for a whole host of health problems. But nutrition experts have pushed back on these claims, arguing that there isn't enough research to put the blame on seed oils. They're mostly used to cook fried food, higher in other ingredients that can have negative health impacts if consumed at high quantities over time. Seed oils are typically high in omega-6, which on their own are not inherently inflammatory. But most Americans already consume enough omega-6 and do not need enough of the omega-3 fatty acids, not get enough of the omega-3. This imbalance of too many omega-6 fatty acids and too few omega-3 fatty acids is the bigger problem at play here. Basically, just don't trust nutritionists. I looked up what it takes to become a nutritionist, and it's embarrassingly easy. Like really? Embarrassingly easy.
Like
yes.
A certificate program or something?
Oh, yeah. I think I saw one that was like 8 months and you're a registered nutritionist.
What?
That's
we should do
ridiculous.
That on the side. Why don't we all become registered nutritionists? So when we
dude,
do
that would be.
Heck oh. Dude, his face lit up.
Let's I don't want to spend 8 months doing that.
How much work does it
it's
take?
It's probably if a discussion it, blog a week. What are you doing?
If it's not that bad, we should do it. If it is, then you're just you're going on a rant here and you're still out of your mind because maybe it's 8 months of intense work.
Could be.
Just go, I'm a nutritionist. I'm a nutritionist.
Still, 8 months is not enough time.
It depends on how much you put into it.
We're not getting a PhD.
In 8 months, you can be an expert in something.
No, if it's 8 months of going to a job every day, that's still not enough time. Like, nutrition is an insanely broad topic. There
listen,
are hundreds,
the medical, the medical field, sure. But with doctors, they went, about 8 years. So what's your number for a nutritionist to be fully qualified?
Good question, Patrick.
It can't be as much
in
as
my
that.
Experience.
Probably
no less than 3 years.
Okay, so sounds 3 years then. Okay, so more than 8 months. So, but 8 months, it's more than 8 weeks, right? So for I think sure. It sounds, when you say it out loud, a bit much, but when you're probably in it, you'd be like, yeah, I deserve this certificate for learning about carbs for the last, right? But
no.
I just think it'd be cool to just put on the business card too.
Another one that I don't like is x-ray technician.
Oh, how long? Oh, let me do that one. You could do nutritionist.
I would rather do x-ray.
Higher risk of cancer. Well, I don't know. You could do
because really, what are we doing? We're turning on the machine and we're putting someone's hand in there.
I got an MRI and I'm in the machine and they're kind of just chatting for 30 minutes. And by the time I'm like getting paranoid because I'm like, oh man, I've been in this hole for the longest time. I'm getting warm. I'm like, am I going to vomit right now? I'm just like, nope, but don't move. Don't give them the upper hand. And then they let me out and I forgot what I was talking about, guys. Sorry.
Turning on the machine.
Oh, the lady, she then, I asked her, I go, so you probably can't tell anything from that. She goes, yep, nope. You have to talk to an actual person that got paid to learn to do that. And I was just like, okay, sorry.
How much of that is legit versus they say that to basically CYA? Because I've
diagnosis.
100%.
Yeah, if you're like, oh, that's a brain tumor and it's not. They're in
trouble. Doo-doo one way or the other. Either
so I had an MRI when I had my back was all messed up when I was like in high school. And as I walked out, it was up on the screen and I looked at it and it was very obvious that like I thought my spine had started. I thought my spine had started to thin because it was going like normal on the bottom. And then it like shot up to the top and came back down. That was the herniated disc. Mm. But I saw that like just as I was walking by. And I was like, hey, is that my mom grabbed me? She's like, nope, that's don't even look at that. Don't.
She knows what type of person.
Yeah, she knew at that point. And she's like, oh no, this is going to be bad. But yeah, the guy who was there was like, nope, we can't tell anything by that. Like, I saw it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's a clean. No, we can't actually even say.
Right. So I'm sure he was waiting for a doctor to make an actual like prognosis. Diagnosis? I don't know the difference between those two words.
Either.
I have no idea what the difference like between those two
sounds
words
like
is.
A construction site when they get mad at each other for not, like, you're not supposed to do that job. You're only allowed to do this.
Right.
So like when they think, when they yeah. think yeah, they're union. Helping, they're actually impeding on other person's hours and stuff like that. So maybe, you know, I see it. So.
All right, moving on. Fire at National Beef Plant in Kansas. So a truck parked in the loading dock at the National Beef Facility in Liberal, Kansas, caught fire at 9:50 p.m. on March 20th and spread to other trailers and a portion of the loading dock, according to a statement from the company. The National Beef statement went on to say the facility was operating at the time of the fire and was evacuated for the safety of employees and others on site. Emergency services extinguished the fire within a couple hours and no injuries were reported.
Wait, within a couple hours?
Right?
Dude, I've been watching.
I was thinking like a couple minutes maybe?
Yeah, I don't know why. I watch too many videos on the internet, but I've seen a couple in the last week of like firefighters putting out fires. And like, it's like, check this out. And it's this big house fire. Like the firefighters get there, they're running around doing stuff. They turn on the water and like 10 seconds later, the flames are going out because they pump so much water. It just, the fire, I think it's still hot, but the fire can't get any oxygen. So it's gone. But even at a big meat plant, a couple hours.
Right. That was my thought. Like, and then it goes on to say that there are another article says they're not expecting this to affect the market in any way. And as we're now a week past it and beef prices didn't really spike. I would say they were correct. But yeah, I was surprised that it took that long to put out.
Did they say, was it inside at all, or was it all contained?
It was
outside?
Like from a reefer truck. I don't think it made it inside. I think it was just some trailers.
Cool.
All right. Niskayuna, Hannaford recalls beef shaved steak. That's my hometown.
What?
Yeah. That is the town
Niskayuna?
Niskayuna. That is the town I grew up in. Uh-huh. That I've shopped at that Hannaford many times.
What?
So it is, they were recalled for foreign objects in it. So somebody shaved something that shouldn't be shaved.
So they do it like at a deli counter?
Yeah.
Ah. Yep. I don't trust deli counters. Huh. I'll be like.
Tech sent me.
I don't trust countertops.
I shouldn't say that because of the industry we're in. Yeah. But I don't like.
I love deli counters.
I would trust it at a small meat market. I don't feel like I trust it at like the big box stores. But to be honest, I don't see big box stores, the big box store grocery stores doing it since COVID. Like the ones I see, they're probably still doing it, but everything's all like pre-cut and sliced and packaged. You can see the stuff that's there that you can have sliced up. But it's all like already done. It used to be like
that.
Back in the, I don't know, maybe it's just where I shop.
Where do you shop?
Mostly at the Target down yonder.
I don't see you as a Target shopper. I certainly don't see Jenny as a Target shopper.
Target's like Jenny's favorite store, but it's the closest grocery store place to our house.
I hate Target's meat department. Everything I've ever gotten there has been subpar.
At Dillon's, are they still slicing fresh in front of you? Yeah, they definitely don't at Target.
The last time I got something like, yeah, they sliced it right there on a Bezerba slicer.
Huh.
Now that was a year ago, maybe? It was in 2023 at some point.
Okay.
So there's the 360 Deli and Grill. This is the first one that's going to open on Kellogg and Greenwich, and it is a New York style deli. It's about to open in Wichita, so. We will have to go down there and get sandwiches.
That's cool.
And review them on the podcast.
Oh, dude, should just start reviewing meat places
We have to slow down on that, guys. I've eaten more fast food in the last, like, since we did that food. One review than I had in
years.
Well,
his problem
previous.
With fast food is, like, goes deeper. Like, I go to a place, I get it, I put it in the bag, and I wait till I go home and I eat it. This guy, he's got burgers for the road home.
That's ridiculous not to have.
You're just accidentally getting an extra 1,200 calories.
I know.
And
so we need to
cut it out.
I am. I took this morning off. And one of the things that I did was I went through my pantry and threw out everything that's not, or that's going to cause me not to eat just steak, cheese, and eggs over the next 3 weeks. That is my plan. Those are my only three options in the house right now. Those are the only three things that are going back into my house.
Okay. What about, so we were on modified carnivore.
Right.
Are we kicking the modified then?
Well, no cheese.
Man, still carnivore. Kind of. Ish. I mean, it's not like you were eating candy.
it was meat and candy. And then we're cutting out the candy. So it's just going to be meat, cheese, and eggs. So all like animal products. I can't have anything in the house right now that's like easy to eat. Like, cause I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go get some chips.
I see what you're doing. You're trying to make your meals at least take a second or two to make. Yeah. So it's worth your while, not just snack and go. That's kind of smart.
Yep.
It depends. Cheese is my, like, that's, I eat so much cheese. It's unbelievable. My wife does not hardly put cheese on things. She doesn't hardly give it to the kids. Like, but we go through a lot of cheese just because of me.
Yeah.
She made a 7-layer bean dip the other day and like had all the stuff on it, like good layers of all stuff. And she gets to the cheese and there's like a sprinkle of cheese on top. I'm I want like a half inch layer of cheese. But that's
what you need.
IV drip, like, baby.
But I will, my quick snack, I'll go to the fridge, open up a cheese bag, handful of cheese, down the hatch.
Oh, God, yeah. That is absolutely a staple snack in my house. One thing I've started doing recently is I've been making egg sandwiches, which I can't make anymore because I won't have the bread in there. But I've been putting American cheese-like product down, then fried egg on top of it. Then taking a very small amount of Parmesan cheese and sprinkling it on there changes everything. Makes it amazing. I don't know why.
If you still want to do egg sandwiches, just do egg, cheese, meat, something else, egg. your bread is the egg. I've done that a few times.
Okay.
But it's not bad. It's not as good.
It doesn't sound as good.
It's not as good, but if you want a little sandwich.
No, if I'm just not going to get it, I just won't get it, you know? All right. So whatever. That was the Hannaford from my hometown. I laughed. I thought it was funny. World's largest pork processing plant, world record in Tar Heel, North Carolina. Tar Heel, North Carolina, United States. Smithfield facility at Tar Heel, North Carolina occupies 1 million square feet, employs 5,000 people, and produces an average of 8 million pounds of meat daily, setting the world record for being the world's largest pork processing plant.
That's insane. Daily capacity, 35,000 head.
1 million square feet.
So we are in the process of new building construction. We have not actually started construction, but it will hopefully be soon. We're only building like 100,000 square foot building, and that is going to be massive.
10
of those. That is insane.
Did you say 35 daily?
35,000 head daily. Annual production at 2.1 billion pounds.
I wonder how many trailers that is. Like how many live trailers. How many hogs fit in a trailer? In a phone booth. Okay. In a semi, for example, an 18 by 8 footer can hold 30 pigs that weigh 200 pounds. What?
So 1,000?
And they're doing 35,000 a day?
I mean, they're probably not doing that every day. That's the capacity.
Okay.
I mean, I would bet that most days they're running like 60% of that. I'd bet it's something a lot less, but this something that's still a lot.
Okay. But those are also, what I gave with 30 is for 200 pounders. A 53-foot trailer can hold 500-plus pigs that weigh 40, 60, or 70 pounds. That makes more sense. So we're doing really small hogs, I guess.
Those are piglets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nobody's processing that. So yeah, 1,000 trailers a day.
Hope you have a lot of docks.
That is crazy.
You can have a lot of docks on a 1 million square foot
building. Jeez. Yeah, one whole side of it has to be docks to get that many trailers in and out a day.
It's nuts as all the stainless steel in that plant. Holy cow. Wish I sold them some equipment. Actually, I don't want to sell them equipment.
No, you don't want
to be dealing with that. Tied to that. That's why we deal in the world that we do. The guys at home, the small to mid-sized commercial processors. It'd be a lot of money putting all that in, but that would not be fun. Mm-mm. I don't want to do that.
All right. No surprise, Prop 12 raises prices for pork in California. An economist discovered prices for pork products affected by Prop 12, including loins, ribs, and bellies, have seen an average 20% price increase in California since July 2023, when the initiative was partially implemented, with loin prices averaging 41% higher than before the Prop 12 implementation. Pork not covered by the initiative has not seen a significant increase, the report noted. The paper's authors also pointed out that California's share of fresh pork consumption has declined significantly.
I think that's their goal.
I 100% agree. Like, oh, we'll just make it so expensive that you can't afford it anymore.
Yeah, that's just disappointing.
At what point do Californians rebel?
I don't know, but if anybody wants to start... I'll be your backer.
I mean, you remember the LA riots back in the 90s, right?
No, I was too young.
Were you really?
Yeah. I was born in 89. So.
Oh, okay. So you were too young.
Hey, Austin, go check these riots out. They're aghast. It's on the news. Yeah, OJ's next. Come on.
No, it was... But, I mean, those people are still there. There's still that spirit of, you know, we're ready to go. But somehow they seem to have... tamped that down.
I don't know about that because you're probably looking 20 to 40 year olds.
Back then, you're saying?
Yeah, back then. And that was 30 years ago. So now you're talking 50 to 70.
Yeah, but I mean, those people have been replaced by other people of the same ilk to a certain degree, but maybe not. No. So wait, if I say the word rooftop Koreans to you, that does, you don't know what that means?
Is it like a barbecue joint, like Korean barbecue?
I don't know that one either.
Wow.
Yeah, I got no idea.
So rooftop Koreans was a term that came up because like Korean communities were getting on top of their businesses with rifles and legitimately shooting looters. And so they call them rooftop Koreans.
Huh. Like looting during like rioting?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So that would be interesting. To be honest, yeah, I shouldn't make a comment. We've joked about that around like here at times. If things went to the pits,
oh, yeah.
We'd be on AR-15 patrols up sure. on top of the roof here. But I mean, it kind of makes sense because if you want to go steal someone else's livelihood.
Oh, yeah.
It's people think, oh, you don't have right. Yes, you do. If someone came and they demolished and destroyed, looted our building here, it would not only destroy like me, my dad and brother as owners, destroy everyone here.
Yep.
Everyone here would be out of a job.
Yep.
Like, yes, hopefully most everyone would be able to go get a job somewhere else fairly quickly, but it's not like you just instantly recover from that. It is damaging to everyone's livelihood that's connected.
Respecting of and recognizing property rights are what made America great in the first place. So as we start to lose that, there's going to be problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, they rooftop Koreans has its own wiki entry. So yeah, it was a very famous thing. All right, moving on to
he's like that's not I didn't coin that. Phrase.
I did not come. Yeah, okay, I didn't come up with that. That's a thing.
It does sound like it could be a little racist. I will say Western.
Why? Because they're Koreans.
I don't. It comes off something that is if you really watch PC.
The actual like interviews from people. It was a lot of like I said, actual mm-hmm. Korean people. It wasn't just like one or two of them. It was like a string, like an actual string of businesses.
Do you remember during the Michael Brown riots? It was a bunch of young black kids standing in front of a convenience store, like locking arms,
a little,
trying to protect that place from. And what one of the things they said that goes, this isn't our community. Like these people are not like who are doing this are not my neighbors. Like they're coming in from other places to take mm-hmm. advantage of. And that's how it always is. Like people aren't looting their local store because that's their local store.
They want to go shop there tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are we going to talk about the riots that happened if we didn't?
Okay, moving on to wild card. Brothers tried to fight off mountain lion during fatal attack in Northern California, California family says. So as two brothers, they were out shed hunting. A mountain lion came and attacked both of them. They tried to fight it off. One brother got away, called 911. When the police got there, they treated him, went and found the other kid who the mountain lion was like, apparently laying down kind of like next to it. But unfortunately, person lost its life. And then they killed the mountain lion. Wow. Not that common for a mountain lion to actually kill somebody.
So right?
Like
say.
You hear about attacks and stuff.
Well, what do you think the cause of death was? And don't say mountain lion.
Mountain lion bite.
Like if you're like, so like loss of blood or something.
Probably.
Yeah. Like I'm not thinking like broken
sanguination.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you go out and do anything in the woods, you're opening yourself up to that possibility, unfortunately.
So I tell everyone about leaving the house. I go, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But then if you stay inside, carbon monoxide. So it's like, it's a lose-lose.
What is that? We've spent thousands of years trying to perfect inside.
Yeah, we're crushing it, dude. AC is a recent thing.
I feel like maybe it was Seinfeld, but I can't remember.
Air conditioning, like 100 years ago, they didn't have air conditioning.
Did you have air conditioning growing up?
I had window
my
units.
Whole life? No. Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, because I have asked my dad that the other day. I was like, and he didn't until, I don't know, sometime early years, but it was,
right.
But not like a meaningful, I take that bad, sounds horrible, not a meaningful portion.
That part of your life didn't matter, Dad. Didn't matter.
But like, yeah, it's not everybody, like even today, has had air conditioning their whole life, which is horrible because I have, and man, I feel bad for y'all.
My dad didn't have indoor plumbing till he was like 9 or 10.
That's a big one.
So yeah,
that's crazy.
Utah man stunned when grizzly bear invades Alaskan campsite.
Oh man.
So what really concerns me about this video is look how thin that thing is. Like that is looking for a meal.
Oh yeah, it is.
That thing's got no belly.
Uh-huh.
So I would have been really scared. I'd be way less scared if I saw a big, fat, like huge one walking by.
So, I mean, I don't know how real hibernation for bears is. I've heard like it isn't at times. Is it just coming out of hibernation and yeah. it's hungry?
Yep.
Okay.
It's also a subadult. Like it's probably its first year away from its mother.
Is that the technical term?
Subadult?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never heard that. That's cool.
I saw a video the other day of this grizzly was chasing or coming towards these people and these guys, they get big and they're they scare it off, and then it cuts. You can tell that they edited the video.
Yeah.
It turns over and shows the guys that were yelling and they're acting all big and tough. They turn around and walk away, and their pants are completely brown.
Did you see the one with the photographer went out, like the bear was chased, like charging them, and I don't know who he was with, but he went out at the bear mm-hmm. and chased it off. That was pretty manly.
Yeah, that was nuts.
I don't know if I'm doing that.
Yeah.
All right. A couple, don't worry about clicking on any of these because I'm going to show you one. But shark attacks man in river, rips off foot and most of calf. Huh. So that was in India. But just as a good reminder, if you're in a river that attaches to the ocean and you're within like 100 miles, you are not safe from shark attacks. Grizzly bear euthanized due to cattle depredation. So it was in Washington. I think it was in Washington. No, it was in Montana. Sorry. Just remember that they kill this grizzly bear because it's eating cattle. Biden admin accelerates plan to unleash grizzly bears near rural community over widespread local opposition. So get ready for more stories about grizzly bear and rancher interactions.
Yeah, that's where you get conservationism, however you want to say it, into a sticky spot mm-hmm. of you don't want to do things that get rid of some of the species and animals that have been around forever. But on the other hand, there is a reason why some animals are not as prevalent as they used to be, because humans have taken over. And you can't really live in harmony together.
Nope. There is no living in harmony with a, 1,200-pound grizzly bear.
It'd be like us creating cities under the ocean and then going, let's reintroduce the great white.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to die.
Sounds like a good idea. All right. So this one is this is from Lad Bible, and it's harrowing moment of a shark attacks a man. So first of all, I feel like this is unfair to call it a shark attack. I feel like it's more the shark defending itself. Watch what this idiot does. So it's this guy.
You take the shark side.
Watch. Like those are his pectoral fins. Watch him. He's behind the shark and he grabs him and he's like yanking on his pectoral fins. What was this guy expecting to have happen? Now, thankfully, he's got a stick to push the shark away with, but it goes, no, I don't care about that. Here, let me have your arm. 1 second, 2 seconds. So 2 seconds, it's biting him. Wait.
Oh, boy. Oh, has he got the foot? I've seen this one.
Yeah.
That's how he started my Monday. I was like,
watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me see it.
That's his wrist. Do you see how it's crushed as uh-huh. well? Now, just wait till this guy moves. Because it's being blocked right now by a guy in a blue sweatshirt.
Oh man.
How's that? There's bone. Oh. There's what looks like a piece of ribeye hanging away from his bicep.
How's that even legal to be on the internet?
It's not good.
With us human, we can't stand to see what our own insides look like.
That's fair. Oh, I don't like that idea.
Why so would you? He covers it back up.
He covers it back up. And then we're just going to wrap some gauze around it.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
That'll be fine. Like, but look at all that blood in the water.
I'm helping.
20 plastic surgeries later.
Oh, my God.
The guy still can't move his arm.
He's got no bicep left.
Yeah, that's bad.
And that's just a sand tiger shark. They're also known as gray nurse sharks. They're not an aggressive breed. So whatever this guy was doing.
He was jacking with the thing.
Yep. So I don't think that should be counted as a shark attack.
No.
Shark provoking.
So you know that they call it an unprovoked. That's one of the things for it to be considered a shark attack is it has to be unprovoked. Now, sometimes what they call provoking is a little
like on if the you're line. Feeding like, them
they were spearfishing in the area. Yeah. It's like, yeah, but it wasn't like spearfishing the shark. He was spearfishing other things.
Yeah, but you're doing things that it's going to make the shark
attack
ready to eat.
Thanks for checking out the Meatgistics podcast. To shop everything but the meat, head on over to waltons.com. To get your meat processing questions answered by experts and enthusiasts alike, head on over to our online community at meatgistics.com. Waltons, everything but the meat.